Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing fine.
Good, good.
You know, during the presidential campaign, the issue of the NDAA came up a lot.
Yeah.
And there were things that were discovered that were violating civil liberties. That was very, very interesting because a lot of college kids brought this up and they were very much aware of it. Today, we want to talk about NDAA, but just on the spending, what's going on, because it's passed the Senate already.
Yeah.
And, of course, Trump wants a lot of money. You know? I don't think he's a fiscal conservative for some reason, because he likes money spent militarily, and he likes money spent domestically on infrastructure. So, but it finished in the Senate, and they passed $750, and that's what Trump wanted at least. And now it's going to the House, they're working on a bill of 733, but there's a lot of amendments coming up and a lot of discussion. There's a lot of policy things going, and there's a lot of strong feelings on some issue. They're even going to discuss abortion and things like this. So there'll be a lot of different things, nuclear weapons. And going to go back and forth. I think it's in Rules Committee today, but it'll go back and forth, and there will be a vote. Always vote on this. And as I recall, the debate was, a decent debate, but the very large majority always voted for this. You were un-American, unpatriotic, and out of your mind if you'd ever vote against NDAA. I mean, this is defense budget. And I always resented just what they call it. It has nothing to do with defense.
Yeah.
It's a military budget. It's the military-industrial complex who does all the lobbying. You remember, they to the office, we need this weapon, and all these things. But the House is going to deal with some restrictions, try to keep the Congress from, or the President from spending money on certain events, on foreign policy in the Middle East, even talking about Guantanamo. So there's a lot of important things here. But for me, the biggest thing is we have an empire. We have a lobbying group called the Military Industrial Complex. The bill is going to pass. It's going to be bigger than ever. And it's something that nothing on the long term is really going to change, because we could go out here 5-6 months from now, and if there's something stirring that just even looks like the slightest bit of increase in military needs overseas, we wouldn't have enough weapons. They'll have a supplemental. I mean, that is not unusual. So it's a big spending bill. It's a big deal. I think they should have the discussion, because Iran worked on it in the Senate to try to put the restrictions on, not being able to start a war with Iran without congressional approval.
Yeah.
So you can deal with those issues, which are very important. But long term, it looks like the interventionist foreign policy that supports our empire, it's alive and well, and we'll nibble at it and try to convince other people that we should talk about defense. We should show why that is military and doesn't provide much defense, nor does it give us more liberty. It is not a fight for the Constitution or more freedom. And this is it's a very important issue, and it'll be in the news here for the next several days.
Yeah, and the House version is H.R. 2500. And the president, the reason we're talking about today is the president has threatened a veto. He released a long statement. It's a SAP, Statement of Administration Policy, on it. I did read through the whole statement. And he's threatening a veto, as you point out. It doesn't really happen. I mean, I think Obama vetoed one, and then he went back and repassed it. It's kind of a tug of war right now. But the money is a big part of it. You know, he's only getting $733 billion from the House. He wants that $750. Of course, last year was only $717 billion, so I don't know how we survived with that little money. But what must happen, as you know, Dr. Paul, is they appoint a conference committee if the two bills are passed and they have discrepancies between them. That conference committee is made up of House and Senate members, and they get together and they reconcile these differences. And so what the president is warning is, if the conference committee reconciles the differences in a way that favors the House on these critical issues, and we'll talk about a few of them, then I may veto this bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, there'll be the other things that will get some specific attention. One would be the border wall. The Democrats especially and others who are opposed to this are going to try to prohibit any Pentagon funds drifting over and being used to build the border wall. So that will be an issue, and I will probably hear a pretty good debate over that on whether or not that is the case. I don't like the idea of the president's just saying, well, you didn't appropriate money for this, so I'll just take the money from over here. That really isn't the way the situation was set up. The Constitution doesn't mean that the president has that much power, because I see the executive branch as way too powerful, and I think the legislative branch are a bunch of wimps because they don't live up to their prerogatives. All they do is demagogue on political issues rather than dealing with their own responsibilities. If they had been more serious, I'm talking just generically, the legislative branch wouldn't have been so compliant in fighting all these undeclared wars since 1945. And that's where I think is a big problem. But anyway, there'll be a big debate over prohibiting Pentagon funds going on into the border wall.
And wimps is the right word. I mean, that's the perfect word, because authorization process is not just, hey, here's the money, you want some money. The authorization process is how Congress exercises its constitutional oversight authority by authorizing this and not authorizing this. And one of the things about, you know, Trump saying, hey, I'll just get the money over here, no big deal. One of the things they're doing that he's not very happy about is they're limiting his authority to transfer funds to just $1 billion. So that'll get a kind of maybe a shorter border wall or something.
It used to be a lot of money.
But that's how they do it. It's not just about putting the money. It's not a formality. This is how they exercise policy.
Yes, and they have a responsibility to do it, and they neglect it usually. And usually it's too late. You know, our executive branch should be more respectful of not doing it, and the legislative branch should be more vigilant. But sometimes things have to get very bad until they put their foot down. And I see that as the 1960s, you know, the tragedy of the 60s and the Vietnam War. It took a long time for the Congress to put their foot down after they, oh, my goodness, there was no declaration. And besides, the reason we went in there was based on a lie. Never heard of such a thing. So what happens in other places since then, like in Iraq? But there's another issue that's put in here that probably fascinates a lot of people. Matter of fact, I one time, and I still am fascinated with this whole idea of space exploration. Mm-hmm. But I like it when it's done by private industries. When these guys make a lot of money, why they lie, and some of them do, and they look into space.
SpaceX,
and I think that's great.
Yeah, that's
but now they have, but that's not what Trump's thinking about. Mm-hmm. He's talking about a space force. It's military. You know, we need this to defend our country. So that'll be an issue that's going to come up.
Yeah, and there's a controversy over funds. But what's annoying about the House's or the White House's statement of administrative policy, and they always do this, they couch it in, as you said earlier, this flag of patriotism, you don't care. And here's a couple of quotes from it. The president objected to the spending level because at that level, i.e., what is it, $733 billion, quote, this would not support critical national security priorities. And they also object to these provisions because they would, quote, undermine the nation's defense posture and harm the war fighter.
Oh, boy.
You know, that is, what does that mean? So 733 versus 717 versus 750, those differences are going to, this poor guys are going to go out fighting a war with no guns or something, you know.
That's what they'll lead you to believe. But, you know, there's another issue come up, and I don't imagine this is a huge amount of money, and it isn't so much the money issue, and that has to do with Guantanamo.
Yeah.
The left and more liberals, more progressives are saying they want to have in the bill a prohibition against transferring more prisoners to Guantanamo. I'd vote for that because I don't like Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Guantanamo was a creature of a mess we created in the Middle East and wars we declared and we started. And then anybody who opposed us is a terrorist, and therefore we put him in prison down there, and we know of all the tragedies, even though I concede there were some pretty nasty people, you know, that were involved. But it's a consequence. I don't think Guantanamo is the solution to problems that we're very much involved in, you know, overseas. So that's going to come up. I guess my prediction on this is they'll probably not change much, you know, because the president wants that he likes it. We got to put these bad guys away. But we have vehicles, hundreds, I think, who were suspects, even under these questionable circumstances, have been arrested and tried and put in prison and, severe penalties.
Yeah.
And there's no reason that we're not capable of doing something rather than secret prisons where it doesn't have a very good reputation. You know, it was practicing torture. That's not exactly the American tradition. Can't remember reading about that in the Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
Under dire circumstances, just torture them and to get the information you need to protect this country.
Yeah. Well, I don't want the president to be able to send anyone else to Guantanamo because I'm afraid we're on the list.
So. I hope it's not that bad.
But another thing to talk about, and I was going to ask what you thought about this because I think it's kind of interesting, and this is, and the president is not happy at all about this. It prohibits funds, the House version prohibits funds to deploy low-yield nuclear weapons on subs, so tactical nukes on subs. The president say, how could you tie my hands like that?
You know. Well, because they're in charge of the money.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's interesting, in one of my books, I can't remember which one, but a while ago, I was tired of this, that there's an absolute control of the president over foreign policy, everything and anything, from going to war and spending money and all these kind of things. But if you go back and read the Constitution very carefully, there's no word foreign policy.
Yeah.
And if you look at the details, the Senate has responsibilities, you know, for confirming special people, ambassadors. All the money is spent by the Congress. Declaring war is a responsibility of the Congress. So the weapons have to be endorsed by the Congress, too. The one place where we were very careful not to intrude when we were trying to stop these wars was not to dictate to the president that by Friday you have to move this many troops from here to there,
yeah,
realizing, you know, that he is in charge of the troops. And if you deny funds for continuing the war, that's one thing. But to dictate exactly when he's going to move the troops, I didn't like that. So, and then this nuclear submarine, I don't think we need more submarines. You know, I argued, and I did it more or less to make a bold point, but I don't think it was too far from reality. You know, in the height of the Cold War, and we really had serious problems to contend with, a lot of nukes out there. I said, you know, if you really acknowledge the fact that, you know, we could be threatened by nuclear attack, how much would we need to retaliate? And I added up all the number of nukes you could put on six nuclear submarines that you could have floating around, you know, around the world, and you mm-hmm. could attack any spot in the world within minutes. And we had alternatives to that. I said, you probably would have enough on six instead of these thousands of nuclear bombs. So the fact that we need this newfangled nuclear submarine, probably a nuclear submarine, and that would carry nuclear weapons, that sounds to me so close to being aggressive. That's offensive. That doesn't sound like it's defending our borders, you know. And so I think Congress has a very strong responsibility to decide on issues like this. And, of course, strategically, I don't think they're necessary. And I think that a proper vote would be to vote against that.
Yeah. And it does make you wonder, if you talk about tactical nuclear weapons, when President Trump, a week ago, vowed that he would obliterate parts of Iran if they did anything else. So you wonder if that's the kind of thing they had in mind, and certainly that Congress is in its rights to say we don't want to do that. But the one thing about this, we talk about the spending and how high. I think we even have a graphic the military spending, if we have it available. But it is so high. Look at this, Dr. Paul. This is from 2019 budget request. Look at how much the military, you got to add the veterans in there. What a huge piece of the pie it takes, almost 70% when you add the veterans and the military spending together. It's just massive, and I think we have another one to put it in perspective. We put this kind of thing up before, but it really is worth looking at. This is 2018 expenditures, the U.S. versus the rest of the world. Now, China's got a little bit. We've got 36% of the entire world's spending. China's at 14. You look down at Russia, this big threat, 3.4% of the world spending. So it's a massive amount of money. I was just reading before we started the show, Dr. Paul, that in these first 2 years of the Trump administration, the federal deficit has increased by 25%.
Right.
So spending.
Well, you know, when you look at those charts that you put up, if you believe we're in serious trouble and can be attacked, and we have the weapons, we have the money, we have the financial system, doesn't it indicate that, boy, we must really be inefficient if we can't defend this country with all that?
With all that.
And saying that, you know, well we need more control and more money and more weapons. We need to control space. I mean, it's endless. But it isn't endless because they're paying for it through printing press money and debt. And that's limited. It'll limit. So those numbers show us that these policies just can't continue. You know, there was a bit of discussion, I think, in the House on this issue of spending and where to cut. And one individual coming from the left said, well, we're not going to vote to cut any of this because we don't think you've done enough to cut the waste in the Pentagon, which is probably a pretty true statement.
Yeah.
We would talk about the waste and
trillions,
you know,
missing.
What about the F-35? That's pretty wasteful. But overall, it's the big picture that's wasteful. I mean, fighting these wars is wasteful and dangerous. So if you want to stop the waste, you change your policy because it is the very nature. Nobody should ever expect to turn that, as much authority as you showed, over to the government and think that you're going to have angels who are attracted to going in there and divvying up the loot.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, the people who can make more money off, the people who sell the weapons, then all of a sudden they're in charge. And that's one of the reasons that there isn't, you know, a big fight over the total amount. And there are these important issues. But when at the end of the day, the bill is going to pass. It's going to pass overwhelmingly. I think there's a few more than there used to be. I recall the first years I was up there, I think we'd get like 10 or 12 or 15 individuals voting against it. And it's grown a little bit.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. Maybe there will be a jump and people saying enough is enough. But it isn't, you can't solve it getting, we'll get rid of waste and fraud and we're going to solve our problem. What we need, of course, is a change in policy.
Yeah, it's about not running the world, not $500 hammers, even though those are ridiculous. Well, I would just close with a couple of announcements. First of all, and this is a strange thing that I would like to talk to our YouTube followers about, we've noticed a strange anomaly where we have been increasing subscribers by 100 and some, sometimes 200, 300 and some a day. And all of a sudden last week, we started losing, which is very odd. So we're just it's easy to get paranoid. But if you're watching this and you're not subscribed to the channel, please do that. Please subscribe because we're monitoring this very closely to see what's going on. The other announcement, the tickets to our conference are selling very well. Dr. Paul, I'm happy to report they're selling faster than they did at any time. We're well over halfway sold out right now. So go ahead and get your tickets while you can. Come join us. We're going to talk about these issues of military spending. We're going to talk about Russiagate, which keeps falling apart. We're going to talk about Iran. We're going to have great experts, people that are I've spent years studying this, and they're going to enlighten you and entertain you. And finally, I would just again remind students out there, go to ronpaulinstitute.org. Up on top, there's a little thing where you can click and make your application to join us for the Ron Paul Scholar Seminar on August 23rd in Washington, D.C. We do have scholarships available. This is our first year of doing this brand new program. We're really excited. We want to have you there to join us.
Very good. And I just want to state once again on the charts that Daniel brought up, because it shows that we're adequately defended. We have the weapons and we have the power, and yet there's still this concern we need more. So the 750 is probably going to get passed. But that's only part of it. When you add up everything that's done in the State Department and the secret organizations and CIA and all these things, people have estimated that it's over $1 trillion. And then you have to talk about the interest on the debt that's run up because this is all money that's paid in the debt. So it's a $1 trillion or more that has to go into this military operation. So it is an amount of money that we can't afford And yet I don't see any real change, because right now the greatest noise is coming from people that have gone to Washington who think you don't have to cut spending. So we need a few fiscal conservatives that would go up and say, well, maybe just deal on the budget. But it doesn't happen on the military, because the public relations, the mainstream media has it that if you do, if you vote against funding for the Middle East wars, and I've been on the receiving end of that, that means you don't care about America. You're not pro-America. You don't like the troops. Well, just think about it. If we'd have had a non-intervention of foreign policy, think of how the world would be different in these last 18, 19 years, not only in the Middle East, but here. You know, these funds on the chart that Daniel put up shows these other things that we spend and a lot less. And some people would typically say, yeah, save the money from all that militarism and spend them on these programs. Well, that would be better, and I'm for that. But the bigger issue is you cut that spending and start whittling away at the other, because what you want to do is take the wasteful spending, the wasteful policies, whether they're the welfare system or whether it's the military system, turn the money back over to the people. Then maybe the millennials could afford to, you know, instead of worrying about their debt that we encourage them to take, maybe they could afford to buy a house. So it's malinvestment, it's maldistribution, it's a consequence of government being too big and running the show and making all these planning. They're lousy planners. I don't like economic central planners. And that's exactly what we have. And it's orchestrated by one large government entity, at least created by government, but it's too independent and too self-minded. And that is the Federal Reserve. None of this could happen without the Federal Reserve. And a lot less would happen if we didn't have the privilege of printing the reserve currency of the world. But that is what's coming to an end. And that's why we will be forced to think about limited government, the proper role of government, what the Constitution is all about, and then decide what sound money really means. Well, thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.